Hello and welcome to another episode of Hanks a Lot, the comprehensive and encyclopedic podcast examining chronologically the many films of Mr. Tom Hanks. I am Kent Shelton, your host for these festivities, and joining me from Hollywood, California, is our film critic at large, Mr. Trace Oakley. And from Seattle, Washington, the town best known as the hometown of Kyle MacLachlan, this is our musical director, the supersonic, Mr. Kevin Dennis. Hello, fellows. Welcome to the program.
Zoom!
That is magnificent coffee.
Indeed. And how are we this week? We're we are back together to talk about a Tom Hanks movie, of all things.
Shocking.
This guy just seems to not stop making movies. You know, when we
we probably got another 4 weeks or so.
Oh, you know what he's going to do? He's going to release like eight of them on the when we think we're done. He'll put out eight in a weekend, and we'll be stuck doing this till we're old men.
We should start thinking about what we're going to do next.
I think
like
so.
What sort of money pit are we going to get ourselves into from now this point forward?
So early.
Too soon. Too soon.
Well, what we're looking for is a
see why shortly.
We're looking for a vast filmography that spans multiple decades, where we've really seen a person have a chance to grow the way we've seen with Tom Hanks. So I don't think we're going to be doing like the movies of Dr. Hang S. Knorr, because he was in one movie. So
not Daniel Day Lewis, because did the same movie eight times.
Not the films of Peter Dinklage.
Right,
because he doesn't really grow.
Oh, come on now. Oh, that's low hanging fruit. That's a joke like that. Anyway, we're talking this week about a movie called Finch. It's called Finch, and it's not about birds. It's about a guy named Finch.
I don't know why that got me. It's really funny, but that was really funny.
A lot of people don't know about this one. We're gonna have our film critic tell us about it, and I think he'll take it away right after this.
Well, now it's time for the review. Trace, please tell us, what is your view?
The 2021 film Finch, Tom Hanks' post-apocalyptic remake of Turner and Hooch, originally titled Bios, was expected to be a major release. Way back in May of 2018, before the movie had begun shooting, its release was set for October 2nd, 2020. The COVID pandemic caused a postponement to April 2021, then to August of the same year. Then after a third delay, Universal gave it a new title and sold it to Apple TV. The cult-like tech giant would then hope to boost its brand by premiering a studio picture, one that would have otherwise played in the theaters. You used that cult reference 2 weeks ago when you reviewed Greyhound. Are we having some technical issues? Anyway, Finch tells the story of robotics engineer Finch Weinberg. He's one of the few survivors on Earth after a massive solar flare destroyed the ozone layer. The planet is now largely uninhabitable due to extreme weather events and temperatures that average around 150. Also surviving is Finch's dog, Goodyear, and a little canister vac-sized robot named Dewey. Finch wears oven mitts to grocery shop, but given there aren't really any other people, at least the checkout lines are short. He wears protective gear. It's a whole suit. He definitely does not wear oven mitts. Something is terribly wrong with Finch. Here we go. The black-hearted curmudgeon is already tearing it apart. No, I'm not. Yet, there's something wrong with the character. He's sick. While the nature of the illness is never spelled out, it would seem to be radiation poisoning, as he reads books on the subject. He's concerned that if he dies, there will be no one to care for Goodyear. No pet sitters appear to have survived, or temp agencies. There are no neighbors, helpful or otherwise. And not many folks are on Craigslist at this point. For Christ's sake, stay on topic. So, Finch builds a robot. He scans encyclopedias, language books, and dog care guides, and inputs the content into the mind of an android. But a massive storm is approaching the Midwest, where the man, dogs, and bots have resided. So they hop in an RV and head to San Francisco. San Francisco. So how did you come? Did you drove and did you flew? By the time they get to Denver, she'll be rising. Finch is bedridden, and the robot decides to loot a hospital. There he finds a trap set by other humans. They hit the road again, but this time crash the vehicle. Jeff, as the robot is called, is strong enough to yank it out of an underpass, and they make it to Frisco. Finch teaches Jeff how to throw a tennis ball to Goodyear. Finch passes away, and Jeff wraps him up and gives him a dignified cremation. They drive to the Golden Gate Bridge, where Jeff, the robot, inexplicably jumps off, ending his own life. I don't remember that part. Your eyes were welling up with tears, I'm sure. Hanks is the only human actor appearing in the film. It is a callback of sorts to his near-solo effort in Castaway, which was directed by Robert Zemeckis, who was one of the executive producers on Finch. The dog, played by canine thespian Seamus, is the only other living being on screen, while the voice of Jeff is provided by Caleb Landry Jones. Hanks unquestionably gives the best performance by a person in this flick, while Seamus' comic timing and realistic panting are utterly disarming. As the voice of Jeff, Jones is one note, not funny, not moving, and grows tiresome almost immediately. What? You didn't call his work pedestrian. You must be slipping. When a movie spends 10 minutes discussing whether a robot should be called Jeff, you know you're in for a long slog. It's not 10 minutes deciding what to name him. It's 10 minutes on the pros and cons of Jeff. Only Whit Stillman or Seinfeld could make that into a compelling conversation. For those of you playing at home, a Whit Stillman reference. As he's done before, Hanks acts quite a bit with inanimate objects here. There's no Wilson volleyball, but he banters with tin cans, maps, and various machines. Those items never come close to evoking the inert pathos of the money pit. No, Emma Watson in the circle. The screenplay is by the numbers, offering no surprises and rehashes of similar better film. Writers Craig Luck and Ivor Powell originally developed the idea as a short film and probably should have stayed with that. Like The Polar Express, Finch might work as a Pixar short, though its subject matter would seem a bit dreary and depressing for kids. Zemeckis deserves credit for coming up with the name Miguel Sapochnik as a pseudonym for the actual robot who directed the film. Not surprising either that the guy who preached universal obedience in Forrest Gump is now telling us to embrace artificial intelligence. Zemeckis is a god. You are a dangerous subversive. My score, half a can of Alpo.
Well, you know, poor little movie that thought it could. I guess I guess Trace showed it. This movie, I was just imagining the pitch for it while I was watching it. I was imagining somebody said like, hey, do you love movies where Tom Hanks movies where somebody coughs up blood like in Saving Mr. Banks? Well, this time it'll be Tom. And hey, did you love Castaway? Imagine if the volleyball could talk. You know, it had a lot of weird stuff going on in it.
Imagine if Turner and Hooch, but a lot less happens.
Well, I don't know. I think just about as much happened in this as Turner and Hooch. I don't know. I didn't have a bad time with this movie. I think that I thought the first half was more interesting than the second half. I thought once it became a buddy road picture, once it became sort of a Midnight Run with a slightly less robotic Charles Grodin.
Grodin was brilliant in Midnight Run.
But
can we do Grodin a lot? Can we do Grodin a lot next?
If Grodin had done a lot,
I'll tell my friends about that one.
All right. I don't know. I had never seen it. I probably, if somebody asked me, hey, you guys did Finch this week. Is that a good movie? I'd probably say, yeah, you can give it a miss. It didn't Didn't make me angry. Didn't make me want to insult Robert Zemeckis. Or I thought the robot. I thought he had his charm. I didn't really like the vocal performance, but I thought the physicality of the robot was kind of hilarious from time to time. It just
I think I'd agree with you there. I think every line sounded exactly the same, and it just was. I mean, I didn't think the screenplay was all that good either. It was kind of a mix of both, but yeah, the physicality was fine. You know, it's sort of, you saw a little bit of humanity come through. You know, in the visuals.
I felt like he did his dialogue options. I did feel like he was becoming less robotic and more not exactly human as the script went on. I thought that his conversation just kind of became more casual and sort of he actually sort of learned to joke around a little bit. At some point, Tom Hanks starts another incredibly miserable story, and he interrupts and says, "Hey, you didn't start with Once Upon a Time." Like, you know, I thought there was a little bit of fun with the robot there. It didn't make me mad, but then again, I probably wouldn't tell people, you gotta check out Fitch. So, Kevin, what'd you think? What do you think about this robot movie?
I hate to say it, I do agree with the old black-hearted curmudgeon on most of this one.
You're agreeing with the robot, then. You're not agreeing with the black-hearted curmudgeon.
I thought Tom did a really good job. The acting he did was really great. I just thought there was nothing to it. There was no substance. I was bored. I did get angry quite a bit in the movie because it made so little sense. How come we're in this post-apocalyptic world, but they seem to have no trouble getting gas? The roads are all clear. There's plenty of water. I don't know. I was going, right. What am I watching this for? Why am I watching this? And the thing that drove me nuts was, having been through a big tornado in my life and living in Tornado Alley for many years, they strap the RV, like the worst thing to be in a tornado is an RV. They strap it down. All of it breaks. It's pulled up into the tornado except for one strand, and it's fine. There's no damage. Everybody survives. I was like, this is one of the notes on IMDb. This brilliant engineer who can build a robot from nothing that can learn and do all this stuff, but he can't come up with a generator that'll generate enough power for him when that storm's coming. Why don't you just stay underground and build a generator? I so much of it that stuff bothered me. So I didn't like it at all.
You're absolutely right. It really was just too easy, though. Not easy to watch, because it's just, yeah, I just found it dreary and boring. And, you know, I mean, I think to the point review for me would be why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the story we're telling here, and how is it? I just didn't get it. I was like, I don't get it. I don't get what are we doing here? And the robot at the end say, "Yay, we were here too." And I'm like, who cares? Nobody's there. Nobody's on the bridge.
I was a little confused that he wanted to get away from horrifying weather events. So he decided to drive across the country to the Pacific Rim, to the coast of Northern California,
from people. He says, "I'm not going to go east because there's people, but we'll go to San Francisco."
Yeah. Where are you?
I don't know.
There's not just people, there's hippies, for God's sakes. The worst people of all. oh, my God.
At least in New York, they bathe, for crying out
loud. Oh, yeah. At least they're walking here in San Francisco. Who knows what they're doing with the flowers in their hair. All right. So.
That's a song that they did not use.
Very surprising. Very surprising.
I think the only music that they really used, the only diegetic music was Don McLean's American Pie, which I didn't hate the use of it, just because I did buy a middle-aged guy going like out on his shopping trip at the beginning, just wandering around and singing that song to himself, which is how the movie starts. I can see a a middle-aged man walking through the ruins of a Home Depot and singing Don McLean. It made sense to me. But other than that, I don't think I really noticed the score, other than they would ramp up some scary music every time the weather would get bad.
They had a couple of things. They had, you know, Sing 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 was in there, and a few little notes of throw-ins, which were fine. It all seemed kind of odd to me. I still felt like it was discombobulated. The composer is Gustavo Santaolalla. I'm sure I'm saying that incorrectly. He's done Brokeback Mountain, Babel, Wild Tales, Larry Flint, a couple of stuff like that. It's kind of a similar style. He uses a guitar a lot in his stuff. And I found the background music to be non-intrusive and just fine. Just not interesting either. I just found the whole thing kind of flat. And I was so distracted by the weird story of, and getting distracted by these facts that were just so bizarre to me that it was hard to me to stay interested in what was happening. So sorry, I divulged again. But anyway, the music was good. It was fine.
There you go. Well, that's a one more. We can cross off the old Tom Hanks list. And folks, if you want to take if you want to give your eyeballs a rest this week, maybe do that.
You've had enough screen time, people. Let's turn off the TV for 1 week.
If you watch any given episode of the Walking Dead, you're going to get a better post-apocalyptic experience probably, because
with least better looking people.
At least there's bad guys in that one, you know. I was a little bit confused by the decision to never show another human being other than. I guess that was just a decision they made early on. Like, how about
the flashback?
Tom Hanks is the only human.
We saw a few dead bodies in the 99-cent-only store.
And the flashback and the little girl.
And the mom. Yeah.
But like, you know, at some point when they're trying to, when they have to, as my friend Bob Seger says, when they had to get out of Denver, baby, get out of Denver, baby. They were chased by a car, and you never saw who was chasing them or even what kind of car it was. They were pursued by headlights, and that's all you ever really knew. I think that the threat could be ramped up if they showed, you know, what the threat was a little bit. I don't know.
I would not want the movie to be any longer, you're absolutely right. There's just a lot that was not explained that could have been explained and just at least have it maybe made a little more sense.
Well, next week, we're going to talk about a movie that I think we've all been looking forward to. A little movie.
Have we?
Called Elvis, about the...
Oh, I love Kurt Russell. I am so excited. I love Kurt Russell.
Elvis, for many people, he's the ultimate American. He took a pill to get up. He took pills to lay down. He ate like crap, and he died on the toilet. And when he was out in public, he was wearing a giant cape with a bald eagle on the back of it. Now that's an American. We're going to see a little movie about Elvis Presley next week. And
I'm excited with that intro.
I think that Tom Hanks, you won't be surprised to find out he does not play Elvis. He plays a supporting
character. Let's skip it then.
He could have really pulled it off. I think.
What's his supporting character? Does he play?
He
plays Elvis Costello. It's really weird. I don't understand.
Yeah, the script didn't have a cover page on it when he got it. And he was like, oh yeah, Elvis, yeah, sure.
Exactly.
I think he plays Colonel Tom Parker.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
He plays Elvis's longtime manager and puppet master, and Sven Jolly, if he's happy. So
we know how much we love movies with puppets.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that was all we have to say about Fitch.
You've said it wrong twice. That's how meaningful this movie is. We can't even get the title right.
It is Finch. You're right. And I have been saying Fitch all week because I originally thought this was the movie Hitch that starred Will Smith. And I was like, I didn't even know Tom Hanks was in that. I have been confused about the movie and the title and everything right up until today when I watched the movie. And I was like, oh, Finch, I see. It's Finch. That's why I threw in the bird reference.
Bird reference, which was brilliant.
Trying to remind myself that it's Finch.
So far, all that's right. Been the highlight of this episode was that joke at the beginning. Well done.
No. Well, I'm gonna loop it five more times at the end.
Just so do that.
You guys enjoy it. All right. Well, we're now going to transport you off on a sea of happiness with a beautiful song about Finch by our own songbird, Mr. Kevin Dennis.
Chirp, chirp.
Yeah. So enjoy, and until next week, please, Hanks a lot.
Eat your peaches. 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 Eat your peaches.
Episode of Hanks a Lot, the Tom Hanks podcast. Our show is recorded and mastered at Cliffside Studios in Spokane, Washington. Your hosts are Trace Oakley, Kevin Dennis, and me, Kent Shelton. Please send corrections, comments, and indecent proposals to hankspodcast@gmail.com. Tom Hanks has not been consulted or compensated and knows nothing about what goes on here. All music used on the show is composed and performed by our own Mr. Kevin Dennis. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Come back next week and bring your sister. And please rate and review us on your favorite podcast catcher. Thanks for the support, and goodbye.